They drove him back to Lamont Street, where they arranged an impromptu encounter with the two witnesses. Tequila was led into the alley where he had left Pumpkin.
"Ever been here before?" a cop asked.
Tequila said nothing, just gawked at the puddle of fresh blood on the dirty concrete. The two witnesses were eased into the alley, then led quietly to a spot near Tequila.
"That's him,"
both said at the same time.
"He's wearing the same clothes, same basketball shoes, everything but the gun."
"That's him.
No doubt about it."
Tequila was shoved into the car once again and taken to jail. He was booked for murder and locked away with no immediate chance of bail. Whether through experience or just fear, Tequila never said a word to the cops as they pried and cajoled and even threatened. Nothing incriminating, nothing helpful. No indication of why he would murder Pumpkin. No clue as to their history, if one existed at all. A veteran detective made a brief note in the file that the killing appeared a bit more random than was customary. No phone call was requested. No mention of a lawyer or a bail bondsman. Tequila seemed dazed, but content to sit in a crowded cell and stare at the floor. Pumpkin had no traceable father, but his mother worked as a security guard in the basement of a large office building on New York Avenue. It took 3 hours for the police to determine her son's real name, Ramon Pumphrey, to locate his address, and to find a neighbor willing to tell them if he had a mother. Adelpha Pumphrey was sitting behind a desk, just inside the basement entrance, supposedly watching a bank of monitors. She was a large, thick woman in a tight khaki uniform, a gun on her waist, a look of complete disinterest on her face. The cops who approached her had done so 100 times. They broke the news, then found her supervisor. In a city where young people killed each other every day, the slaughter had thickened skins and hardened hearts, and every mother knew many others who had lost their children. Each loss brought death a step closer, and every mother knew that any day could be the last. The mothers had watched the others survive the horror. As Adelpha Pumphrey sat at her desk with her face in her hands, she thought of her son and his lifeless body lying somewhere in the city at that moment, being inspected by strangers. She swore revenge on whoever killed him. She cursed his father for abandoning the child. She cried for her baby. And she knew she would survive. Somehow, she would survive. Adelpha went to court to watch the arraignment. The police told her the punk who had killed her son was scheduled to make his first appearance, a quick and routine matter in which he would plead not guilty and ask for a lawyer. She was in the back row with her brother on one side and a neighbor on the other, her eyes leaking tears into a damp handkerchief. She wanted to see the boy. She also wanted to ask him why, but she knew she would never get the chance. They herded the criminals through like cattle at an auction. All were black. All wore orange coveralls and handcuffs. All were young. Such waste. In addition to his handcuffs, Tequila was adorned with wrist and ankle chains, since his crime was especially violent, though he looked fairly harmless when he was shuffled into the courtroom with the next wave of offenders. He glanced around quickly at the crowd to see if he recognized anyone, to see if just maybe someone was out there for him. He was seated in a row of chairs, and for good measure, one of the armed bailiffs leaned down and said,
"That boy you killed, that's his mother back there in the blue dress."
With his head low, Tequila slowly turned and looked directly into the wet and puffy eyes of Pumpkin's mother, but only for a second. Adelpha stared at the skinny boy in the oversized coveralls and wondered where his mother was and how she had raised him and if he had a father, and most important, how and why his path had crossed that of her boys. The two were about the same age as the rest of them, late teens or early 20s, just like the rest of them. The cops had told her that it appeared, at least initially, that drugs were not involved in the killing. But she knew better. Drugs were involved in every layer of street life. Adelpha knew it all too well. Pumpkin had used pot and crack, and he had been arrested once for simple possession. But he had never been violent.